Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Brian Walker, President and CEO, Kansas Food Bank. Welcome to Issues 2025, Brian.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you with us again. It's been a kind of tradition every year around Thanksgiving. I invite you to come on, and we talk about food.
Sure.
Because food is top of the mind right now.
Yeah, you know, this time of year, people think about, donating to their charity of choice, and food is one of those that gets to the top of the list this time of year. And so it's a great time to talk about the need for food in our communities.
Well, let's start with some basics. For those who don't know, just kind of explain to us, what is the Kansas Food Bank?
So the Kansas Food Bank is an organization that serves 85 counties of the state. We've been around 41 years serving food to our food insecure neighbors. What we do is we collect food from donors locally, nationally. We purchase millions of dollars worth of food. And then almost everybody that has does some kind of hunger relief, whether that be a soup kitchen, a pantry at a church, a rescue mission, they have a relationship with the food bank. And our role is to provide them the food they need to put nutritious food on the tables of those folks that are visiting those agencies in need of food assistance.
And you said 85 counties. That's how much of Kansas is that?
Yeah, so it's like 70,000 square miles. There's 105 counties in the state, I believe. And so we always look at it. We do everything except the northeast corner. So we have the hard part. We have all the miles and not as large as population. So it's a little bit harder work to serve some of those rural areas. But folks in rural areas are just as important if they need hunger relief as those in our urban areas. And so our distribution is probably split. Sedgwick County, the five-county area, is about half, and then the rest of our service area is the other half of our distribution.
So you have to have some trucks. Do you have trucks, Ed?
Yeah, we run different delivery routes throughout the state. Roughly about 430 deliveries we do every month. And one thing we have done is we've just opened a facility in Garden City, Kansas, to help us take care of that western part of the state. Mm-hmm.
And how many people do you think you serve or help out in a year's time?
So we do about 250,000 right now in a year's time. We've seen those numbers increase quite drastically because mostly what we can figure is inflation. The scary part of that is the number we see growing the fastest percentage-wise is seniors. That used to be about 8% of our clients that we serve, and now it runs anywhere from 20 to 25%.
It was 8%?
Yeah. So as they age out, people live longer. They've outlived what they thought they were going to need for retirement. And so they just need a little extra help. They don't use our services every month, but maybe every couple months.
So just to be clear, can people just drive up to your door and receive a box of food?
So we don't let anybody go hungry, but we act as the warehouse, right? So we have roughly 700 partners that we serve across those 85 counties. They can, like I said, they could be a church food pantry or a soup kitchen. But we also work with schools, low-income health clinics. So there's roughly 700 partners that we serve.
How do you, how do you distribute the food? Just all by truck? Or
yeah, so we run delivery routes. We put people can, our agencies that we serve, they can get online. We're pretty technology advanced, and they can see everything we have in the warehouse. They can place their order. We put their order together, and we'll deliver that to the door of most agencies. So they put it together, and we deliver it right to the door.
Are you a United Way?
No, we are not United Way.
Okay.
No, we're not United Way funded. We are I'm blessed to have great community support. You know, the corporations in town that we would assume are helping not-for-profits have been our partners for 41 years, the aircraft industry, Cargill, Dillon's, all of those. And then just the general population, the general public. We receive a lot of donations from folks at $25 at a time, and we have, you know, we distribute about $17 million worth of food. We purchase about, I want to say right now, it's about $5 million worth of food. So pretty much just privately funded. Some works with foundations and stuff like that.
When you talk about the food that you – is there a formula? In other words, you send somebody out and we this many boxes of cereal, and do you, is it the same kind every time or brand?
No, it varies, right? So a lot depends on what's donated, right? So, again, we collect donated goods from across the country, so it just could be what – it may be an overrun by a producer. It may be a package change on the label, you know, all those kind of things. We pick up some of it, what we call food rescue. So we work with the retail grocers across the state where they, for example, they freeze the meat before its sell-by date. It's still good. We'll pick that up. Produce that's good enough, that's still good to eat, but it may not be good enough for the shelves. So we pick all that up weekly, roughly about five times a week at different stores, sort it, and then we'll distribute that out too. And that's a large portion of what we do. It used to years ago that would all go into the landfill. It was still good. And so we found a way to rescue that good food and put it on the table of folks that need it.
Is that something that you think about every night, all that great food that's just being thrown away?
You know, it makes you wonder. There's some misconceptions about, you know, we can't rescue food if somebody leaves half their steak on a plate at a restaurant,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it has to be good food, right? It has to have all the checks and balances of the temperatures and all those kinds of things. So think it this way. Let's say that a grocery store ordered a pallet of apples and, you know, they only sold half a pallet, then they may donate that other half a pallet. So the product is still good. It's just on how the product turns and that kind of stuff.
Now, I personally grew up in a household where my parents had been raised in the Great Depression and in the Dust Bowl. So, and I had three brothers. So very rarely was there anything left on any plate. On we did not waste it at all.
Right. And, of course, I wasn't around then. But from what I understand is, you know, there was a lot more people that grew gardens. Neighbors helped out their neighbors a lot. You know, they knew the folks in their neighborhood that were food insecure. And that's just not the way we live anymore. And, frankly, there's one in seven Kansans are food insecure. And one in five of those are children. So if you think, you know, think of the neighborhood you grew up in and you count down, you know, five houses, you know, odds are that one of those families struggle with food insecurity.
Yeah.
And it's not something they talk about, right? They don't go to their neighbor now and say, I'm hungry, can you help me out, right?
And the tough part is if you were in a Dust Bowl down in southwest Kansas or Oklahoma, you couldn't grow anything. Nothing would grow.
So right,
that was
right.
Really a tough time.
Yeah, and that's just switched, you know. So if you're in those areas now, it's the lack of a grocery store, right? Because the populations have gotten smaller, rural grocery stores have closed. So there's different issues with that. And then the cost of goods, of course, makes a huge difference on that as well.
Are you limited to just food items, Brian?
No. So we have a couple different things we do. We have a hygiene pantry that we do once a month, because if you receive SNAP or food stamp benefits, or if you don't have enough money to buy milk, you certainly don't have enough money to buy laundry soap or dish soap or those kind of things. So we do a hygiene pantry once a month where we provide a sack of pre-mixed items, you know, folks that need in their everyday lives to wash their clothes and wash their hair. And then we have choice items like diapers and razors and those kind of things. So it's not just food.
And you mentioned your corporate donors and helpers a while ago. And you got a big boost the other day from Cargill during that shutdown.
Sure.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the shutdown, that increased our need a little bit, right? That was that we're still suffering the consequences from that. We're glad it's over. But, you know, Cargill came through for us like a lot of folks in Wichita did. And they have every Thanksgiving donated five truckloads of turkey breasts and thighs to us this year. They go further than a whole bird. You know, the families we serve are smaller, seniors. So they actually work out better for us than whole birds do. A lot of folks that are food insecure don't even have a way to cook a whole bird, right? But they can cook a turkey breast or turkey thighs. So they're great to us, and they really did. And they also, right at Thanksgiving, we'll start a holiday match where they will match dollar for dollar up to $100,000 to help feed kids in our community.
So what's your overall situation at the Kansas Food Bank heading into Thanksgiving?
So, you know, we have, donated food is flat. Demand has increased. So we're purchasing a lot more food. What I will say is, you know, nobody's not going to get food, but, we are really struggling to have enough food on our shelves, right? So we're ordering truck after truck of food. We have somebody who spends his day just doing purchasing. So, of course, we'll get by, but we can't do it without the support of our Wichita communities and folks that even just spreading the word about what we do is very important.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Brian Walker, President and CEO, Kansas Food Bank. How much food do you think you move on a typical day then?
Well, boy, you're making me do some math, but it's like 17 million pounds a year.
17 million a year.
Right. Oh, okay. So we figure we turn our warehouse, just about once a month, once every month and a half of food. So it's quite, we move quite a bit of food. And more of that as we're concentrating on nutritious food. So fresh produce, those kind of things that we know if that we're ever going to, shorten the line at our pantries, we have to keep folks healthy. We have to keep folks seeing their doctor. And although we don't want to be the food police, we want to make sure that they have access to fresh, nutritious produce and proteins. And so, more and more of what we distribute is fresh produce, roughly 4.5 to 5 million pounds now of fresh produce. Mm. That's harder to do because it takes infrastructure to do that. And so, we're working on that as well. But we're really happy that we can do that.
That warehouse, of course, visible from the interstate. How big is that?
So we're right at warehouse space. We're right at about 50,000 square foot of warehouse space. And then we have a really large volunteer center because it takes so many volunteers to do the work we do. We have roughly, probably average per day, about 60 to 100 volunteers that are in that volunteer center packing senior boxes for seniors or packing backpacks for kids, bagging apples, all those kinds of things that we need done so we can then in turn distribute it to families across the state.
How much of that space is dedicated to refrigerated or freezing storage?
Yeah, so freezer space, we can hold about 7-8 semis of freezer product in that facility and about the same amount of cooler space. So roughly 5 years ago, we doubled our cooler space because we knew we were going to do more produce. And so we're in pretty good shape with that now. So we have the ability to handle any types of product that you would see in a grocery store.
So I would imagine when you sit down to write your checks or whatever, it's your monthly bills, the electricity bill's probably pretty high.
It is, right? So you have to do all those things that people do at home. We have to pay for gas. We have to pay for electricity. We have to pay for water. And then just consider it like your home. We have to go buy groceries in order to feed people. It's just on a lot larger, more expensive scale. Yeah.
How many employees do you have? I think you may have told me that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so right now I think we're right at 30, which is the most we've ever had. But like I said, we opened Garden City, and with the increase in demand we've had to hire more folks. We're running three tractor trailers and probably 10 box trucks, which is the most we've ever done as well. And so all those folks are either picking up and delivering food, and then we have to have warehouse pullers to pull those orders and put orders away and all that kinds of stuff.
You mentioned volunteers a while ago. Talk about volunteers a little bit and what they mean to the Kansas Food Bank. I mean, I do this show practically every week, and when I'm talking to folks about what's going on in Wichita, volunteers, there are a lot of people volunteering to help.
Yeah, we're really glad about that. Wichita is a community that really supports and helps support its not-for-profits. But, we'll run – so look at it this way. So if we have, 60 volunteers a day, roughly, you do that 4 days a week, let's say. Those are all people we would have to pay to do that work. And so because of the help of volunteers, the food bank is – really glad of these numbers that roughly anywhere between 95 and 97% of everything donated goes to programs. That wouldn't be possible without this great volunteer base, which runs from, you know, we have a school group of kids tomorrow to, you know, folks that are in their 80s and they schedule to come in twice a week and they work a couple hours. And then we have groups of folks that they came in as individuals. We put them together with other groups. And so they've just all kind of become friends. And a lot of folks say, hey, you know, I retired, was sitting at home doing nothing, and I needed something to do. So, you know, I come in here a couple days a week, and, you know, I feel like I'm accomplishing something. And then a lot of them say, then I go play golf, right? So they get to do both.
Give us a look at just how big a problem hunger is in Kansas.
Yeah, so, you know, 1 in 7 folks are food insecure. Of those, 67% of those we serve do not qualify for any kind of government benefits. So they don't meet the governmental guidelines. So we know those folks are turning to the not-for-profit sector for food, along with a number of folks that do receive SNAP benefits do that. But, you know, the bigger problems are is the amount of children we're seeing, right? Those numbers keep going up and up and up that are food insecure, that, you know, a single family, maybe grandkids are helping to raise their grandchildren, and they just don't have the funds to put food on the table. And again, it's not every night of the week, right? But, you know, they may need to use a pantry once a month, once every couple months. And so what used to be emergency food relief for us, you know, what couple times a year, 40 years ago, has become, you know, it's just harder for folks. So if you look at it this way, if you have a set retirement, we've all seen and we've all talked about inflation in the grocery store. Well, your income didn't go up, right? And you're still having to put those dollars out. We've all seen it at the grocery store. So, of course, you have to maybe rely on help, and that help comes from our not-for-profit hunger relief network across the state.
Tell us about your mobile pantry. What's that?
So a mobile pantry, we have two different models. One model is we have areas of the state where we do not have a fixed-base partner. So, but we do have volunteers in that community. So we'll put together pre-made boxes, pre-made bags, add produce. Our driver will show up, drop that product. We have volunteers that'll do a mobile distribution right then. So people drive through in their cars. You know, they sign in, the stuff's put in their cars. Our driver goes on down the road to the next stop, and then the community does the rest and gets the food to them. Here in Wichita and other urban areas, we do mobiles to get more fresh produce and healthier items out. So, you know, we have one at Evergreen Residential for our Evergreen Neighborhood City Hall. We do a big one there twice a month. We do one at Urban League once a month. So those are places that we just know there's a need in those communities where folks can – it's drive-through. It's really simple. They come through in their car. They get the food, and away they go. So it's a fast, efficient, cost-effective way to serve. You know, most of them we serve 150 or so families at those distributions in areas of our community that we feel are underserved. And then one other way we do mobile distributions is we collect up a lot of produce on Friday from our retailers. So there's we have to get rid of that produce before it goes bad. So we have a different agency in different parts of the community that everyone takes a different Friday or Saturday, and we do just a produce distribution. It'll be about 8,000 pounds of produce that we'll just distribute on a Friday evening or a Saturday morning. And that way the food doesn't go to waste, and it gets into the hands of those we serve.
Now, you talked about hunger and kids. What about a little bit more about hunger and seniors? More and more seniors being served then, huh?
Right. So we're doing about 1,000 just senior boxes that go directly to seniors. That's an age-based and income-based program. We do all the identification of the seniors, make sure they qualify. We're capped at that number because that's a government program, and they've capped us at the amount we can serve. But we also run a Bob Box program now for a number of years named after former Senator Dole. We station those boxes in health departments, mostly in the rural areas of our state. We know that seniors That generation knows Senator Dole and they trusted Senator Dole. So they don't even have to ask for it. It's just given to them if they are identified as needing the food. And then again, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that we see a demand of the number of seniors just going to our pantries requesting food assistance has increased dramatically.
What is and the homeless?
So the homeless population, we've all seen it. It's increased. You know, that's a hard population to serve, right? We do some work. We do a homeless with a number of agencies once a month. We do a homeless pop-up clinic. Healthcare's there. Dental's there. We provide foods that, you know, homeless can eat, snacks, fresh produce, because they don't have any way to cook, right? And so we do that with homeless. And then we work with our other agency partners that help the homeless in the community. And that's a tough one, right? That homeless issue is a tough issue. And there's lots of folks working on that there. In our community, they're making some good headway, and we just do what we can as our part, as the food part of that, to provide the foods that they need.
Because they can get one meal a day from the Lord's Diner.
Sure, and Lord's Diner has two fixed-base locations, and I believe they're running three mobile trucks right now, which they do an exceptional job of feeding those folks in those neighborhoods that just need a hot meal.
What's your biggest challenge as you head into the holidays then?
You know, the biggest challenge is just having, again, the food needed to make sure everybody has a holiday meal, right? Most of us sit down for Thanksgiving with our families and, you know, we have a big holiday meal or at Christmas time. And so all the folks that we support, we want to make sure that they have a holiday meal as well. And so it takes more food to do that. Then Christmas comes around, takes more food to do that. And then the weather changes, although we've had beautiful weather. Usually this time of year, you know, folks are flipping on their furnace.
And pretty soon,
Their costs go up, but their incomes don't go up. You know, so, you know, that's our biggest struggle. And what's different about it than what it was, you know, when I started in this work 29 years ago is then we would see sort of the problem subside a little bit. But you know, now we don't see that. We see that demand stay up. And hunger is 365 days a year. We love the fact that folks think about it during the holiday season. But it's here after January 1, hunger is still going to be with us. And so that's the biggest challenge, really, is just getting the word out that we wish holidays were year-round, but hunger is year-round.
Yeah.
But people recognize it during the holidays.
How can our listeners help?
Sure, it's pretty simple. We look at it as they can help three ways. You know, they can buy food, drop it in the bins at the grocery store. We'll pick up that food and we'll distribute it. They can host a food drive at their work. They can drop food off at the food bank. You know, that's one way to do it. If that's what they're comfortable with doing and they want to do food, they can give monetarily, right? So they can go to our website at kansasfoodbank.org. There's a donation link. They can do it that way. They can have their business do an electronic food drive. We can help them do that. Or they can give up your time, right? So like I said, it takes volunteers to do the work we do. So there's three easy ways for folks to get involved with the food bank. And then what I'd also like to say is for folks that need help, we have a website that's called kansasfoodsource.org. It's basically a Google map. They can go there, click on that, and that they can click on the county they're in. And that'll give them every food agency in our 85 – actually, it covers the whole state. We'll give them every food agency in the whole state, whether they're a partner of ours or not. So that's an easy way to find one if you're out in the more rural areas or right here in Wichita, you can find one that's in your neighborhood.
So what motivates
you? Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
To do this work, Brian?
You know, there's a couple things that motivate me. You know, getting to go home every night and knowing we helped put food on somebody's table is very motivating to me. But it's also motivating when I walk in, and this changes as you get older, to see the staff and how much they are concerned about making sure folks have food on their table. And also the community that cares about folks that need additional services, whether that's food or whether that's medical assistance. You know, when you see a community that cares so much about their neighbors in the community, that motivates us and myself to do well with what we do.
Hey, thanks for being with me several times over the years, and best of luck to you in the future here. Brian Walker, President and CEO, Kansas Food Bank. That's all for this edition of Issues 2025. We'll be back next week. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.